Dr. Jenkins, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. In the Academy's view, what is the single most significant problem in the healthcare system today?
I think the Academy for several years has really been concerned most about access to care for children. And, you know, we were big supporters of SCHIP, mm-hmm. and we were able to, in the pediatric area, show the benefits of getting more kids covered in terms of the children who got routine primary care as a result of some of the disparities in health that we saw with African American and Latino children were corrected when they got access to care. So we are really concerned about getting all children covered. We really think that, you know, health insurance and health coverage should be a right for children in this country.
And what's the means by which the Academy believes all children should be covered?
The Academy right now has a bill that it's had before Congress called MediKids, and that's sort of our showcase for what we think ought to happen. But we also recognize that Congress is very unlikely to pick up someone's bill and pass it. So we've sort of put together what we consider our universal principles for whatever bill is finally put together that they consider these issues for children. And I think we're looking at the portability, so that when families move either across the state or the parent changes jobs, they don't have this hiatus in between the job that they lose their coverage. We're also concerned about it being a streamlined process so that parents aren't, you know, sort of pushed away by having these long applications to fill out.
Because there are children currently eligible for SCHIP programs who aren't enrolled because of that issue.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there are some states that have gone to a single application for the benefits. And I think in this age of computers, I mean, why don't we have that, you know, with the proper security elements to it? You know, that would really streamline the ability to get more children who are eligible, you know, into programs. We also really know that, you know, our members have told us, you know, we've also got to have reasonable rates. And the rates vary so much by state. And we really look at it in terms of what percentage of Medicare. And we have rates that are very low in some states, and consequently, you know, pediatricians can't afford to take, you know, very many kids into their practice who are Medicaid or SCHIP if they can't get really reimbursed adequately for it.
Do you have any sense of what states are most impacted by what you just described, where physicians, pediatricians cannot, will not accept new children into their practices?
I don't have the specifics, but my impression is the states that are most challenged in terms of enrolling children are states like Texas. Then there are states who do an excellent job like Alabama. And, you know, you would say, but they're neither one of them are really high, you know, income states. What's the difference? And I think the ability to really look at what some states are doing and really understand more about what they have available, because, you know, Medicaid and SCHIP are matching funds. The state has to add funds to the federal dollars that are there. And so I think there are states that have, you know, access to more federal dollars, but they can't come up with state matches for that. So I think states are challenged. I don't think all of it is, you know, the meanness of not wanting to get kids on. I think they're really challenged by the economics of how to, you know, use the matching funds and how to really, you know, absorb these children in a way that won't bankrupt the state's ability to provide health care.
In a general sense, can you tell me what the shortfall is for a pediatrician when they take a child such as the kind that you've just described? They need X number of dollars to make it financially feasible, but they're getting how much?
Right. I think that's a very variable number based on the state they're located in and what type of practice they have. But we've been told by our members that, for example, you know, in some states they can actually lose money if they take a certain number of kids in their mm-hmm. Medicaid practice, and you know, a certain number of Medicaid children in their practices, meaning it's not just a break-even issue, it's a loss issue. We have specific issues around vaccines, for example, in terms of administration fees. Adult vaccine providers or people who give vaccines can get, you know, $50 for administration fees. In some states, the administration fees for children are as low as $2 or $5. So we're really talking about really big differences between health professionals who take care of adults and those who take care of children.
You've talked mostly about government-financed programs so far in terms of broadening access to children. What does the Academy see as the role of the private sector in broadening access?
Well, I think, you know, the issue as it's been put out now is affordable, okay? And I think that's the key, that we're really looking to insurers to make sure the family policies are affordable, that it doesn't get to be a decision point for parents, you know, do I take this much home so I can feed my kids, or do I put this much in and anticipate that something could happen? I don't want to protect any sort of catastrophic issue, so I want to get health insurance. And so I think our issues have, on a broad scale, been affordable more so than they've been more specific. We're also concerned about private payers and having the appropriate benefits packages, so that preventive health is included in that. And so I think that's been really one of our points in terms of looking at private insurance.
You said a moment ago that there you have a bill that you've sent to Congress that you would like to see enacted, but you also indicated that negotiation is obviously required. But where would the Academy draw the line? What points would you not want to compromise on?
I think the preventive care is non-compromising. That's definitely a line in the sand. Any program that doesn't cover preventive care is not going to be acceptable to the Academy. And I think that's pretty clear. So I think for the most part, that's our line in the sand. I don't think we have a lot of other lines in the sand. We want to have as many kids covered as possible, and we don't want a lot of elements of proof. You know, this whole thing, do you remember when they had the Deficit Reduction Act and they said you got to have a birth certificate? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of kids got thrown off of insurance, even though they had been born in the United States, but they didn't have access to their birth certificates, especially kids in Texas and Louisiana, where they had had this, you know, hurricane where a lot of records were destroyed. And, you know, some states did not really back away from the elements of requiring these kind of things. Also, you know, we really don't want to see the onerous kind of restrictions where you have to come in every 3 months or every 6 months to in person to re-up, okay? So the idea of continuous enrollment, you know, once you've proven, to not have some sort of onerous kind of way that you have to continue to prove that you're eligible. Because, again, what that ends up doing is throwing kids off the rolls.
What would be a reasonable length of time for someone to have to show up and prove their eligibility?
I'm not sure about what our policy says, but it would seem to me personally that a year would not be an unreasonable sort of, because most insurance plans do have an open enrollment period once a year, and I think that's reasonable. I think also, you know, making a reasonable option for how you go and re-up, so that it's something that, again, you know, not onerous, and that it also fits the fact that, you know, we have working poor people now that have to have Saturday hours or a way to get in that doesn't penalize them at their jobs, because a lot of what we're talking about, especially with SCHIP, are working poor parents.
You read a lot about the cultural appropriateness of treatment. Mm-hmm. How large an issue is that in the treatment of children, and is that a role that the government has in helping to fix?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think we really focus in the Academy more on how that works in the pediatrician's office, mm-hmm. or how it works in a system in which the pediatrician works, okay? I don't think we have, as an organization, sort of taken the feds to task around that. I think we've worked with Maternal Child Health Bureau around trying to help talk about how you do that, have programs that demonstrate how you do that, and that have health professionals and pediatricians who do research to show what's effective and what's not effective. I think we're really striving, as you know, to do more evidence-based kind of interventions. So we just don't say, okay, try this and see if it works. We really want measurements that say, you know, their patients are better satisfied by this, patients stay in your system longer, patients get the visit they're supposed to get. So we have really measurable criteria on whether you're a culturally effective practice or not.
I have a final question. You have lived in this area for many, many years, and there has been a lot of discussion in the campaign about healthcare reform. At the same time, it's very difficult for Congress and the administration to do something big and bold. And we have an economy that's going through some very volatile times. Given all of that, what is your realistic expectation that there will be some kind of meaningful health change in the next couple of years?
Right. Well, I'm going to start small by saying, please just give us SCHIP reauthorized before it expires March 31st, mm-hmm. 2009. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing. Let's go with what we know is workable and it's not highly costly. Children, as you know, are probably the least expensive group to insure. And when you insure children, I know sometimes, you know, you're thinking in the short term, I have a 4-year term, I have 8 years potentially. But we're really talking about further down the line. We also know in this economy, Social Security is being taxed, Medicare, and this is all because people, as they got older, had diseases that are costly diseases. Well, for the most part, children's care is the least costly investment that America can make. So I think, you know, trying to think longer down the road and not just the presidential term is going to be that mindset we have to hope that the feds will get in order to be able to invest in doing this for children now.
Okay, and then once you get past the debate over SCHIP, where do you see the debate going?
Well, I think health reform will probably be incremental, and I would like to see children as the first group out in terms of what we design for health. Yes, first in line for health reform, okay? Because I think they're going to be the easiest and least expensive group to cover. And what we learn from that, I think we can continue to move down the road and bring the Medicare and the children's piece, make that interim smaller in terms of who we cover.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Renee Jenkins.
You.
Appreciate it.